Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Saturday night at the 38th Annual Florida Folk Festival. And I've got to hand it to you, your real folkies, to sit here and watch an empty stage. Give yourselves a hand. Well, there's so much to see and do, and I hope you've had a chance to see and do a lot of it today. There's just all sorts of activities. You know, I think the one thing that's upsetting to me about the Folk Festival is the fact that no matter what I'm doing, I always feel like I'm missing something else and I should be there. I guess I should introduce myself first. My name's Jan Milner, and I'm from Crystal Beach, Florida, and I'll be your... Oh, good, a couple of Crystal Beachers right here in the front row. I'll be co-hosting the entertainment this evening with Gamble Rogers, who will be on very shortly. Be sure to take home an official Florida Folk Festival t-shirt this year. They're beautiful. It has the Caribbean Carnival mask on the front. You've probably seen a lot of people wearing them. It represents this year's ethnic celebrations in Florida's Folklife area, which is that area that's kind of up off the... I have my directions confused, but kind of as you're coming into the park, you'll see after you make that turn. You can get your t-shirt from the Bureau of Florida Folklife program sales tent, which is located across from the Folklife area. And you can also find the Florida Folk Festival booklets, program schedules, records, books, and tapes. Friends of Florida Folk is also set up over here and close to the marble stage area. You can buy t-shirts there and get tapes from a lot of the really wonderful performers that you've heard today and that you'll hear this evening. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are really two separate government entities that are involved in putting on this festival, and it's a very complex process. The Bureau of Florida Folklife is the organization that's responsible for getting the arts and crafts people in, and the food, the entertainers, and all of the craft demonstrations. But it's the Department of Natural Resources who actually owns the park and is responsible for the facilities that we're actually using. And we want to thank them for their wonderful cooperation in co-sponsoring the Folk Festival. You know, the Stephen Foster Center is a state park, and the park manager, who is Daryl Krause, and his staff have done an excellent job of maintaining and hosting the event, and we would like to thank all those folks, because without them, we wouldn't be here. Okay. Well, there's a lady sitting behind me who is responsible for the entire Florida Folk Festival coming into being, and she'd like to come out and talk with you just a little bit, and I don't know what she'd like to talk to you about. Maybe she'd want to tell you a story, or she may want to tell you a little bit about the history of the Florida Folk Festival. But I'd like you to give a very warm welcome to Cousin Thelma Bolton.
That's fine. You know exactly what I'm doing. I'm just killing time because somebody is unpardonably late back there. And I hope that he's going to get a demerit or two. But it gives me a great opportunity. Everybody else sings songs. And I don't see why I can't sing a little song to you. Oh, I have some really classical ones. This one, for instance. Always remember and keep in mind that the old cow's tail hangs down behind. It may be ugly and full of cockle burrs, but the old cow loves it because it's hers. My watermelon huckster friend will, I'm singing this one for him. Oh, plant a watermelon on my grave and let the juice run through. Oh, plant a watermelon on my grave. That's all I ask of you. Now, the parson likes fried chicken, and it tastes mighty fine. But all I ask of you is a watermelon vine. So plant a watermelon on my grave and let the juice, let the juice, let the juice run through. I thought you'd like to, I thought you'd like those two little songs. Have they still not arrived yet? Well, then I'll do a little poem for you, one that's as old as the hill and all of you have grown up with, but we love it right on. Little orphan Annie's come to our house to stay, to wash the cups and saucers up and brush the crumbs away, and shoo the chickens off the porch and dust the hearth and sweep, make the fire and bake the bread and earn her board and keep. And all us other children, when the supper things is done, we sits around the kitchen fire and has the most fun listening to the witch tales that Annie tells about and the goblins that get you if you don't watch out. One time, there's a little boy that wouldn't say his prayers, and when he went to bed at night, away upstairs, his mammy heard him holler and his daddy heard him bawl. And when they turned the kivers down, he wasn't there at all. They seeked him in the rafter room and cubby hole and press. They seeked him everywhere, but everywhere, even the chimney, I guess. But all they ever found was just his pants and roundabout. The goblins will get you if you don't watch out. One time there's a little girl would I laugh and grin and make fun of everyone, all her blood and kin. And once when they was company and old folks was there, she mocked them and she talked them and she said she didn't care. And just as she kicked her heels and turned to run and hide, they was two great big black things standing by her side. And they snatched her through the ceiling before she knowed what they's about. And the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. Little orphan Annie says, when the blaze is blue and the lamp wick sputters and the wind goes woo, and you hear the crickets quit and the moon is gray, the lightning bugs in dew is all squinched away, you'd better mind your parents and your teachers kind and dear, and cherish them that loves you, and dry the orphan's tear, and help the poor and needy ones that clusters all about, or the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. Thank you.
You know, I'm originally from Indiana, and I'm very familiar with James Whitcomb Riley, who wrote that poem. And I remember my grandmother reading that to me and scaring me half to death. Well, the next person that we'd like to bring out really needs no introduction. He's my co-host, Mr. Gamble Rogers. Please make him welcome.
Welcome to the 38th annual Florida Folk Festival here at White Springs at the Stephen Foster Memorial Park. The first thing I'd like to say is that even though she has reportedly retired, that the living symbol of Florida folk life is seated right behind me, just the way she has been for the 30 years that I've been coming here. So long that she's like my conscience. And I want to tell you that I oftentimes in other places, on other stages, feel her presence behind me. She's been an inspiration to all of us, and it's good to see her out here again. Lots of things have happened in the last year. We've noted the retirement, for instance, of probably the hardest working person involved with Florida folk life, and that's Miss Barbara Beecham. Now, she's a shy person, but and I'm going to affront her legendary dignity by asking her just to poke her head around that flag. And when she does, I want you to give a big round of applause for Barbara Beecham. It's an honor to be co-host tonight with Jan Milner. And I think the reason I am actually is that since I was here, I have been given to savor the glorious honor of having been proclaimed the Troubadour Emeritus of all Ocklawaha County, Florida. Ocklawaha is a primitive place. It's so primitive that we've got a rabbi named Bubba. I have become troubadour of this place by virtue of having performed for 20 consecutive years on my lunch break at the loading ramp of Arendelle's Purina store in downtown Snipes Ford. Snipes Ford is our county seat and center of literacy, which is to say that everybody in town knows exactly what everybody else is doing, but we still read the newspaper to find out who got caught at it. Ocklawaha County is celebrated for its outsized number of rural alchemists. I ain't talking about moonshine, friend. I mean we have an inordinately large group of citizens who spend the bulk of their waking hours puzzling out novel ways to bleach their used coffee grounds so they can sell them to the tourists on the interstate for grits. Which goes a long way toward explaining why so many northerners don't give a hoot for southern cooking. Took a load of corn to town. Old Jim Dog and Ornery Cuss, he just naturally followed us. We drove out past Johnson's store, a passel of yaps come out at the door. Jimmy scooted behind a box, all them fellows were chunking rocks. Look out, Jim. Before you give him anything. Bill got a piece of rope tied, his dog's collar headed for the door. The dog followed along, a model of canine obedience, ran slap into the door jamb, head on. He backed him up, had another shot at dog, bounced off the door jamb, slewed down the steps, ricocheted off the chopping block, skidded over the yard, and bent slap up against the smokehouse with his feet up there. All three of them. I said, still, Bill, you're trying to trade me off a dog that is stone blind. He said, gamble. dog ain't blind. She just flat don't care. I had a gal, oh what a pal, and her name was Sadie Brown. I'd take her out, we'd walk about when the moon was shining down. And the dear little miss, she would give me a kiss, and to her I would say, Sadie, my little lady, oh, won't you be my bride? Sadie, my little lady, oh, come and be by my side. We'll be married in June and have a long honeymoon, settle down for life. Still Bill used to hang around the foot of that loading ramp in downtown Snipes Ford, hoping to be invited up onto the summit with the senior philosophers. He would put on airs, he would say. Heidi, come on out to the country and I'll show you my spread. 3 acres. I'll show you my herd. 2 cows. But Bill has always been a consummate expert at the arcane science of bovine midwifery. He has to be a good cow midwife because every one of those newborn calves is money in the bank for an agrarian entrepreneur like Still Bill. Now, Bill had this old brood cow. She was about to drop a calf. He heard her lowing, and hard labor sounded like out in what he calls the upper 40. That's the mud hole behind the smokehouse. The smokehouse itself consisting of a superannuated Kelvinator with a charcoal brazier in the base. Bill got a piece of rope. He went running down there, snubbed the cow to the nearest tree, got around behind her trying to help her have the calf. The first thing he noticed was it was a complicated birth because the calf had breached. He tried to turn the little fellow around and get it coming out in the world head first, but he was unsuccessful. He had no recourse but to take hold of that calf's hind legs and start into pulling. He's pulling on that calf's hind legs. That cow's tied to the tree low and Bill's pulling. Now the interstate highway runs right by Bill's property at this point. Along comes this young woman, very hip, very mod, very liberal, driving a little MG, New Jersey plates, acid rock on the tape deck, smoking some non-domestic tobacco. She looks down the field and she sees Bill and the cow. She stops the car, she runs up there, she says, oh wow, how can I get involved here? Bill said, take hold of a leg and pull, ma'am. And they pulled, and they pulled, and that calf came out into the world healthy and capered away. Bill said, ma'am, I'm much obliged to you for helping us out in this, our time of need. Now, is there any way in which I can recompense you for the services you have written? She said, no, mister, I wouldn't take a nickel for any of that. I just want to ask you one thing. He said, what's that, ma'am? She said, how fast was the little one going when it hit the big one? I'm sure glad we've got some country people out here tonight in White Spring. I told that story in New York City and got a whole room full of blank stares. 450 Still Bill clones. Snipes Ford is just like any other place you might know, Seth. It is run on the principles of Ocklawaha County laissez-faire. That's a sophisticated term. It means being born knowing in your heart that it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Imagine a whole town full of people that know that, for starters. A whole town full of people who know in their hearts that right of way is a function of mass times velocity. Imagine a place where the county commissioners unanimously vote to convert the county jail into a time-sharing condominium. Just imagine that. Friends, what I'm talking about is unadulterated, unvarnished, unslaked sorriness. But sorry is as sorry does, I always say. I'll tell you what sorriness is. Sorriness is Agamemnon Jones standing out on the loading ramp at Arendelle's Purina store saying, I get downright tired of the way all these intellectual folks take a simple idea and turn it into something complicated. Take the idea of love. Love. All these college professors talk about love. They have to be too categorical and abstract talking about different types of love. Patriarchal love, matriarchal love, connubial love, conjugal love, carnal love, filial love, uxorious love. In the real world, there's just two kinds of love. There's love and there's love. Friends, that's sorry. I come from a place so primitive they don't even have an alphabet. If they want to write something down, they just draw a bunch of pictures. And I submit to you that a symbolic alphabet is the very cornerstone of communication. In Ocklawaha County, the word for house is a square, a simple square, the perfect symbol of habitation, four walls. Their word for woman is a circle, the earth, the mother earth. Their word for man is a straight line, a reed in the wind. Thus, when they express a concept such as home, they draw a square containing a circle and a straight line. Their word for trouble is a square with a straight line and two circles inside. Friends, we're talking hardcore communication. Now, you're going to hear a lot of folk music tonight. You hear some stories, too. This is the first song I ever heard that made it manifest to me that you could tell a story and sing a song at the same time. Well, my name is Charlie Brennan. From Charleston I come. I've been this wide world over. Some ups and downs I've known. I've been this wide world over. Some ups and downs I've saw. But I never knew what misery was till I made old Arkansas. Friends, I got off the train in Little Rock, right dead in the middle of winter. No one there to extend to me his paw or bid me welcome to the sovereign state of Arkansas. And it was mighty, mighty cold. So I dodged around a freight depot to dodge that blizzard wind. I met a walking skeleton. Said his name was Thomas Quinn. His hair hung down in rat tails on his leaning lantern jaw. And he invited me to his hotel. He said it was the best in Arkansas. So I followed my conductor man to his respective place, where pity and privation were to be seen on every face. His bread it was corn dodger, and his meat I could not chaw. And he charged me a half a dollar in the state of Arkansas. Too much. So I got me a job out there on a farm, farming. But I didn't much care for the work, nor the farmer, nor the farmer's wife, nor none of their children. One day I went up to him, I said, "Mister, I'm gonna quit this sorry job. You just pay me off." He said, "Well, son, if that's the way you feel about it." So he took me out to the barn and he gave me a mink skin. I said, "Mister, I do not want this piece of flea-bitten animal hide. I want all the folding green I got coming for the work I've been doing on your place." So I took my time about getting it. He took me further aside. He said, "Boy, you never did get it straight one time how mink skins is what us Arkansas folks use for currency, legal tender. Do-re-mi." So I took my mink skin. I went into town and hunted me up a place and pitched the skin up on the counter. Darned if the waitress didn't slide me over a blue plate special. Then she picked up my mink skin right careful-like and looked it over once or twice, smoothed out the rough spots of the pelt, put it down underneath the counter, and fetched me out 14 rabbit skins and 3 coon hides for change. "Well, I'm going to the Indian Territory. I will live outside the bar. Bid farewell to the cane brakes in the state of Arkansas. If you ever see me back again, I'll extend to you my paw. But it'll be through a telescope from hell to Arkansas." Thank you very much. Here's my co-host, Jan Milner.
Ooh, thank you, Gamble. Thank you very much. Well, that was an unexpected treat. Well, time to move along, and I think you're really going to enjoy the next performers. They've come up all the way from Miami, and let me tell you that that is one long trip if you've never driven it. So please make welcome the Trinidadian Steel Band.